Good morning. You are listening to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
I'm Lisa. And before we get into today, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, when is the last time you actually looked at someone's shoes before you shook their hand?
All the time?
Yeah, you're kind of like a shoe judge, actually.
There's a reason for that, though.
Okay. Why?
The reason is your shoes tell you something about that person. It's like a biographical information. If you see somebody that is in the store with nice dress shoes on, they're either coming from somewhere or going somewhere. You see, you know, somebody who's got flip-flops on, you know they probably weren't out working, right?
Well, yeah, they're foolish if they were.
You're right. Right. Or, you know, you see a kid with some nice new kicks on, you know his mama loves them.
Yeah. Okay, sure. I get that. So we're going to go to Ephesians. That's what we're talking about today. We're still in Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul is describing what he calls the full armor of God. And he lists six pieces, right? A belt, a breastplate, a shield, a helmet, a sword. And then shoes, sandals, actually.
Yeah, he says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so sandals, of all the pieces of military equipment in the Roman arsenal, Paul chooses to spotlight footwear. So him and I are on the same page. He likes shoes, too.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Good. That's a good team to be on. But here's why that matters. When Paul wrote this letter, his readers would have had a really specific image in their minds. The Roman soldier's military sandal, a very particular shoe. It was called the caliga. Is that right?
Yeah.
Caliga?
And it's not your average sandal. This was kind of a heavy, open-toed sandal made of thick leather. And the sole was more closely related to a football cleat. It had these iron hobnails on it. And so, yeah, when you think of ancient cleats, then you can think of what those are.
Can you imagine if the little soccer people had iron cleats out there? That would be pretty crazy. Anyways, military historians have compared it to almost directly to modern athletic cleats because those iron nails bit into the earth and gave the soldier forward traction, especially in close combat where the ground gets slippery and where the press of bodies is intense, where your feet could go right out from under you.
Yeah, there's Josephus, ancient historian, Jewish historian, a writer. He lived in the first century, and he actually witnessed these Roman armies. And he noted that you could hear a Roman legion, which is like 1,000, you could hear them marching before you could ever see them. The sound of thousands of iron studs striking stone roads was probably kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
It was kind of a warning sent ahead of the army.
So it wasn't about protecting your feet from a sword, though, right? Every other piece of armor protects you from a blow, but the sandal seems to be different. It gives you grip. It gives you the ability to advance when everything is pushing you back.
Yeah. Paul, what he does with this image, he takes the Roman battle sandal, this piece of equipment every person in the audience really would have understood, and he says the gospel of peace is your footwear. That's what gives you traction.
Wow. And the word that he uses for peace is interesting. For Paul's Jewish readers, it was enormous. He's reaching back to the Hebrew word shalom, and shalom doesn't just mean the absence of conflict, it means wholeness or completeness, a world and life rightly ordered. There's nothing broken that ought to be whole, nothing missing that ought to be present. That's the piece he's talking about.
Yeah, and shalom isn't about your feelings. Or your mood that day.
Bummer.
It's about reality.
Okay. Well, and then look at the grammar that Paul uses. He says that the readiness is given by the gospel, like a passive voice. He doesn't say readiness that you developed on your own or that you earned or that you built through consistent quiet times. It's received. It comes from outside of you. Reality outside of you. That's the peace.
Yeah. Romans 5:1 says it kind of plainly. Therefore, since we have been justified, saved, made right by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Present tense. You have it. Not you're working toward it. Not you have to have it on good weeks and then you don't have it. That's the hobnail in the sandal. That's what keeps you from sliding back. That's the traction of the gospel of peace.
Well, I mean, do you think that there's an example that we could like share with our listeners of what this might look like in real life?
Okay. Yeah. I think let's talk about Bubba and Sally Sue.
Bubba's making a return.
Yeah. And he has a bad Wednesday. The day went sideways. He comes home. He's got, you know, he's got a short wick at that point. His wife, Sally Sue, is kind of barraging him with questions, but they're perfectly reasonable questions. And Bubba said something just kind of cold, direct, something just designed her to make her feel small. She went quiet, not crying, quiet, but she just laughed and went to the bedroom.
Bad news, Bubba. Yeah. So what does Bubba do the next day, right? He spends Wednesday night in a fog. You've probably been there before.
No, I've been in the fog, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, then Thursday morning, so Bubba has kind of two options. One option is the one that most of us take. It's kind of to perform, make the coffee without being asked, be a little extra attentive, quietly try to balance the leisure through behavior until he's kind of accumulated enough credits to be, to feel worthy of saying, hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there's a problem with that, right? He's building the ground himself, and the ground that you build yourself shifts every time your behavior does.
Right. Option two, which I think is the harder and really simpler at the same time, is get up on Thursday morning, Bubba, before he feels ready, before he's run enough good behavior the good behavior laps to feel kind of righteous and good enough, and just go to Sally Sue, not because you earned it, because you didn't have to earn it.
Right, so you're suggesting that he just walk down that hallway in the morning before making the coffee, sit on the edge of that bed and say something like, what I said to you last night was mean and you didn't deserve it and I'm sorry. No qualifications, no waiting to feel worthy first. I mean, I might say just make the coffee too. Can we put that in there?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, Sally Sue, she knows the difference, right? She always does. There's a difference between a husband who apologizes after 2 days of performing, and maybe you guys like that, I don't know, and a husband who shows up on Thursday morning before he's ready because something other than his own record is holding him up. That's the gospel of peace actually working, right? He just shows up. He knows, like, his footing's with the gospel. It's with Jesus. And yeah, he did something wrong, but he's going to just say, I'm sorry, and not try to have to earn his relationship. Because the vertical relationship with Christ is that he has been justified. That has to play out in our horizontal relationships.
Right. So here's the question that we're going to leave you with today. Not what do you believe, but what do you stand on? When the ground shifts, and it will, what holds you?
You're not fighting for God's acceptance. You're fighting from it. You're not fighting for other people's acceptance. You're fighting it because of the vertical relationship that you have with Christ. It's already settled. It's unearned. It's unlosable ground beneath your feet. That is your sandal. That is what lets you make the phone call, have the conversation, walk into the hard room of the cold wife. Before you've made the coffee and did all the other things.
So tomorrow on Pearls and Swine, we're going to talk about what happens when the gospel of peace starts working outward into relationships, your community, and the walls that we build between each other. Ooh, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.